everyone, and welcome to DriveCast. I hope you're having a great Friday and looking forward to your weekend. My name is Corey DeCaro, and I serve as the teaching pastor at our LifePoint Plain City campus, and I'm grateful to be with you today. In my personal devotional time, I've been in the Old Testament book of Genesis, looking at the life of Joseph. And for me, I like to wake up early, pour a cup of coffee, open the Bible, and read through a chapter, and then slow down and focus on just a few verses, trying to understand what they mean and what truth needs to be applied to my life. And what stood out to me this week was this moment in Joseph's life that on some level, all of us can relate to. And in watching how Joseph responded in this moment, it gave application and a game plan in how you and I can handle ourselves when faced with similar circumstances. If you remember, after Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, he was taken down to Egypt and bought by Potiphar. Joseph worked hard, and God blessed all that Joseph did. Therefore, Joseph rose in the ranks of Potiphar's house and soon was in charge of everything in Potiphar's home. But in Genesis chapter 39, something happens. It says this, beginning in verse 7. After a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in the house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her, or to be with her. Joseph found himself face to face with temptation. Potiphar's wife is trying to seduce Joseph. She wants Joseph to sleep with her, to commit adultery. And in this moment, we see something that's common to all of us, that being temptation. Now, you and I may not have experienced the very same scenario that Joseph did. However, all of us face temptation. It may be someone or something. It may be a temptation to do something or not do something, say something or not say something, participate in something or take something. Whatever example, one thing is for sure. Temptation is real, it's common, and it's frequent. And each one of us will have to deal with it. I was just talking with a friend of mine about this the other day, and we were discussing how it's important for us to know that temptation will come, but it's not the same thing as sin. That if we look at James chapter 1 and verse 13 through 15, we'd learn that all of us will be tempted. God is never the one who tempts us. And that temptation only becomes sin when we give into it. That temptation lures and it entices us. But it's when we give into that temptation that sin is actually committed. And I think those truths are so important for us to know. And also important for us to know is, well, what do you and I do when confronted with temptation? This is where Joseph comes back into play. We see in Joseph some key things for us to apply when faced with temptation. Back to Genesis chapter 39. There in verse 7, it says, "His master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, 'Lie with me.'" Potiphar's wife, her temptation began with her eyes. And there was no mystery in what she wanted. She said, "Lie with me." But Joseph, in contrast, guarded his eyes. Verse 8 says, "But he refused." Although the temptation was great, Joseph would not give in. He would not cast his eyes on Potiphar's wife in the same way she cast her eyes upon him. It reminds me of Job chapter 31 and verse 1, where it says, "I have made a covenant with my eyes." I love what Matthew Henry says in his commentary. He puts it like this: "We have a great need to make a covenant with our eyes, lest the eye infect the heart." Joseph guarded his eyes, which in turn guarded his heart. And then in verse 9, it says, Joseph says, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Here we see that Joseph let his faith in God be known, and Joseph called sin, sin. He did not sugarcoat things. And it's important for us to do the same, that we should never downgrade or relabel sin. What we see here is just like Joseph, right? Sin always impacts others. Joseph knew that if he took Potiphar's wife up on her offer, that he would be sinning against her. He would be sinning against Potiphar. But even more importantly, he knew that if he gave in to this temptation, he would ultimately be sinning against God. And that's so key for you and I to see, that what Joseph models for us is that when we see God for who he is, it helps us flee from temptation. It helps us flee from sin. That when we see God as loving and kind and gracious and merciful and good and overflowing with compassion, it's easier to turn from sin and choose God. That when we see God for all that he is, it's easier to obey and choose the path that will honor him. And lastly, verse 10 says, "And she spoke to Joseph day after day, and he would not listen to her." Joseph was tempted daily. He showed remarkable faithfulness towards God and Potiphar and himself by resisting this temptation for so long, perhaps for up to 11 years. And even with denying her request, she returned and tried day after day. And Joseph simply said no. He refused to entertain the temptation before him. And sometimes it just comes down to that, that we must simply refuse and say no to sin. That regardless of what we feel or what our emotions tell us, if it's sin, we need to walk away. Maybe this speaks into your life today. Maybe there's temptation right now that you're not sure what to do with or that you're facing. Or maybe today you're doing great and you just need to tuck these truths away for a later time. Either way, I want to encourage you to read through Genesis chapter 39 later today. See how God speaks to you and apply the example Joseph modeled for us. Guard your eyes. See sin for what it is, sin. See God for who he is. And refuse to give in and walk away when temptation comes your way. This is not only possible, but God promises to help. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." Let me pray for you today. Heavenly Father, we know temptation will come our way, but thank you for the truth of 1 Corinthians 10:13, that we're not alone when tempted. God, you are faithful. You are with us, and you always, always, always provide a way of escape. God, may we choose your way. May we choose the way of escape. May we see you for who you are, a loving Heavenly Father, our Lord and our Savior. May we see your provision and your goodness and your mercy and your grace and your kindness. And would that compel us to choose you, to choose your path, and to flee from temptation and to find abundant life in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.